Life is an open book test. How you fail an open book test? You don't use the book.
You're right.
And
ignored red flags.
That too, for sure.
Absolutely.
But getting the wisdom, you have the discernment to be able to see the red flag. So if you did ignore them, you chose to ignore them.
Absolutely. I also ignored them. Yep.
Yeah. It's like, because most of the time when it's red, we see it, but we just hope that it's not what we think it is. Or we think that we can change what it is. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
We can't change what it is. All right, so we're back here on the Openish Podcast, and this is an episode where you are getting to know me, Latia Ashley, who I am, what I stand for, and I'm going to have amazing guests on here that have been through and that have also accomplished a lot. The foundation of this is a grace-based podcast show. My faith is what makes me, and so thank you for tuning in. Just for the record, because this came in my DM, they wanted to know, like, what does open-ish mean? Does it mean that you are kind of, you know, kind of opening up about stuff? And I just want to set the record straight for this. Open-ish is where we unmask the mask. We're real about things that people are kind of open about. I have some questions that came in, and we're going to get into those because I felt that that was a great opportunity to introduce myself to those who may not know me from, you know, a documentary that I produced or from working in the entertainment industry or even hosting concerts and live events. So I want this to be an opportunity for you to get to know me. Now, I don't know any of these questions. Let me say this, okay? Because this, you know, I don't know. I have no idea what's about to be asked. So I'm scared a little bit.
So are you ready to dive into this?
I mean, I think so.
You ready?
I reckon.
All right, because I'm ready. How are you doing? Like, for real, how are you doing?
I think I'm doing excellent. Okay. I'm in a great headspace. I feel good physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I feel
rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's a good word.
So who has had the most influence in your life, Latia?
It depends on what area. Like, if it's my, like, career-wise in business, then I would definitely, I can't pinpoint one person because each journey and each phase, like, you run into different people that are super impactful that sometimes leads to somebody else who, you know, has sold some type of seed in you in another way that sprouts. But I'm definitely a concoction of all the people that have poured into me in a positive way, especially with me working in entertainment and coming from that background, because it's really hard to find genuine good mentorship and good people that genuinely just want you to be successful. And I've been so fortunate, like, so blessed to not be put in compromising situations where I had to compromise my faith or, you know, my morals as a woman. So it's hard to pinpoint one person that's like the main one, but it's definitely a group.
Absolutely. Now, what idea do you think that people mostly get wrong about you or their misconception about Latia Ashley?
Eek. Let me get a sip of this coffee, but it is, or this tea, because honey.
Yeah.
And I drink my coffee with a straw because I want my teeth to get dingy. Free game. Ooh. What's one of the biggest misconceptions? I really try not to major in minor things. And I know that if someone has a preconception that's negative, it's because they haven't had the opportunity to get to know me. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm a very contrary to what people think. And this, I guess it is a misconception. Some people think that I'm very like outgoing and it's always something happening. Like I'm the go-to person for, you know, to be in the know, and the complete opposite. Like, I'm very much like to myself, I'm an ambivert, and I really, really love having my quiet time. I love just curling up and reading a book. I love like history, museums. So that's probably something that a lot of people may not know. Like, I'm really not like a outside type person. Like, I'd be forced to go outside. Anybody know I'm gonna be late
right.
when I go to it. I'm gonna be late.
How late?
You know, I mean, I showed up, so you know.
All right. Now, do you consider yourself having a gift? And if so, what is that gift?
I've been told that I have a gift of pulling out greatness out of people. Like, I can always see potential. And that's good and bad. So that's definitely probably one of my gifts, is seeing the potential and helping them pull it out of themselves. If I could have it my way, I would have everybody discover their purpose and their destiny. Because I think that's the root to a lot of the problems that we have in the world, a lot of the chaos, a lot of the hate, and even a lot of the scamming.
Child.
I mean, but they've been scamming since Bible time. I mean, it was scamming since the Bible.
Yes.
But I think, you know, and even, you know, hate, and like, you don't have to hate on somebody else when you know your purpose.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? The only time someone envies somebody else is because they look good on them, but they're being them. And then you wonder why, you know what I'm saying? So like, your gift will make room for you, but most don't want to do the work to find out what that is. And that's an easy way to do it. But, you know, hopefully watching this podcast, they'll find it. And that's my purpose. And this is for people to find their purpose.
And what did you want to be when you grow up?
So as a kid, I didn't really have an ambition to be anything other than stable. I didn't have like the most stable environment growing up. So I would say that I didn't have like a specific career path that I wanted.
Okay.
I just knew that I wanted to be stable in whatever capacity that looked like. When I was a kid, I would go to the grocery store with my grandmother and I would pick up real estate books and I would pick up the books.
Did you just say real estate
books? I would pick up books and magazines. Yes, I would pick up books and I would go home and I would look through the book and I would look for whatever type of house I wanted as an adult.
And how old were you?
Probably between the ages of like 5 and like
wow.
9. I would always pick up books and I would circle the house that I wanted. It just so happened to be like really big houses, like mansions, but I would always do that. And I always had a dream and a vision of being successful, a dream of having stability. I wanted so bad to get out of that environment because I knew that for some reason, I knew that better was out there.
Right.
And I would go circle big houses and the real estate books. And I would say, Grandma, can we move here? And she said, well, when you get big, you go buy the house and then come move me in it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Grandma, and I did it. I got the house, but she left, you know, to go be with the Lord before I could move her in it.
Yeah. So, okay. So you just said stability because of your upbringing. What was it about your upbringing that stability was so important? That makes that word so important?
Probably some of the things that I saw as a kid. I saw what I wanted to have and I saw what I didn't want to have. And I knew that if I didn't want what I saw, that I would need to not do what I saw.
So where are you from?
I'm a native of Georgia. I'm a real Georgia peach, real life. So I was raised in North Carolina primarily. And yeah, so I'm a Southern girl at heart. I've lived in a couple of different places, but I'm a Southern girl.
A lot of people have gone through challenges in their own personal life, and I'm assuming you have as well. What is the hardest challenge you've had to overcome in your life?
I would probably say forgiving myself.
Oh.
That was probably the hardest one.
When did you forgive yourself?
Forgiving myself when I knew better, or if I made a mistake and I had discernment or intuition that told me to go left and I went right, and not listening to that inner thing that I think we all have. So forgiving myself for not being everything that I knew to be. And then forgiving myself for not being present for my grandmother when she passed.
Oh, wow. That's so hard to hear that.
To this day, like, that's still really hard.
Was she someone that you looked up to?
My grandmother, she raised me from foster care. So she was like my mom and definitely got a lot of things from her, for sure. So that was probably the hardest, not being there for her when she passed.
So you mentioned, and I don't want to pass over it, you mentioned foster care. Was your mother back in your life, your mother and father back in your life afterwards?
Yeah, so my grandmother raised my sister and I. And this is my grandmother on my dad's side. Most people are usually raised by their mom's side. I actually don't really know my mother's side that much. I think I met them once when I was like a teenager. So yeah, my dad, mother, actually, and my grandfather. And she got my sister and I, and she did the best she could with what she knew. She only had, I think, a third grade education, but she was so smart. Wow.
I'm definitely grateful that grandma was able to do what she was able to do.
Yeah.
But was there any thoughts and stuff going through your head as to why my mom couldn't suit me?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, honestly, I was so young when everything happened that I don't remember my emotions in that space. I remember as I got older, like going through elementary school and not really having that connection with my parents that I would see others have, and also noticing that my parents didn't have that same connection with me. Now, what was foster care like? I don't remember much. I know that it was a Caucasian lady that had my sister and I. Yeah. And they used...
What was that like?
My sister remembers more because she was older, but I do remember, like, they used to cut our hair.
What?
They didn't know how to do Black girls' hair, so they used to cut our hair. And,
oh, man. That's just so absurd. Cut hair because they don't know how to handle, manage Black girls' hair.
But how would they?
No, you're right.
So, of course, I wanted to understand, like, well, why should you do that? But, you know, people can only give what they have. And maybe the lady just didn't know. Dang.
Now, I know I'm into a bit of your business, but there is a lot of viewers who have been and seen the fact that you was in foster care. Your grandmother took you out of foster care and raised you, and you are who you are today. Is there any advice you want to give to anyone out there who has gone through foster care, who's in the foster care system now?
Unfortunately, like, we don't get to pick and choose our parents. We don't get to choose the family that we're born into, for sure. But you do get to choose what you do with your life. You do get to choose your friends. The first set of family that you get, you get what you get. But the second set is your choice. And I mean, it's hard to give advice because every situation is different. By the grace of God, like I said, my grandmother was able to get my sister and I. And shout out to my parents too. I have a really good relationship with both my biological parents. Love them. But yeah, so I mean, the advice, it's difficult. You know, you go through questioning yourself and learning who you are. And, you know, you have school and parent teacher conference. And there's a lot of things that internally that foster children go through. But like I said, fortunately, I was with my biological family at least. So I did have that structure.
So growing up, was there a lot going to church a lot? You know, was it just such a spiritual type of family where, you know, every day you had to go to Sunday service, you know?
So church was actually an option for me growing up. I've always been inquisitive, so I always wanted to know more and go deeper. And I've always been a person to ask questions and not just go by whatever someone says to me. And so that put me on my own quest to find God for myself and life. Life threw life at me. And then I really got to know him for myself. And that's how I know that he's real. So yeah, I mean, God was definitely found in my grandmother's house for sure. But the relationship wasn't deep until I got in my own house.
Right. You sound like a strong woman of faith. And I want to know, who helped shape that? There had been somebody in your life that helped shape that for you.
Honestly, if I can be completely transparent.
Yeah, please do.
Girl, I wouldn't say it was an individual. I would say that it was circumstances. Because
yeah,
another person's faith or another person's relationship is not going to sustain you during the times that life looks like it's fatal. So I think you only get to know him when you only have him. When God is the only source that you can call on, because there's nobody else that can do anything, you'll get to know him for yourself.
That is so awesome. Thank you for that. And I want to ask something else. Now, you're always doing a million things. I'm always seeing you doing this and that. It's like you have your hands into a lot of things that's going on. So what are you doing right now? What adventure, you know, per se, that Latia is on? Like, what path? Like, what's going on? What's new that is happening or is about to happen that we could look out for?
Well, I recently got married and I'm expecting my first child. Psych. Don't get excited, mom, dad, family. Professionally right now, I'm working, probably going to go back on tour soon. I did assistant tour management. That was something that I've done in my past too. And I don't know, I'm starting to get that itch to kind of step back in entertainment, and the phone's been ringing. So that's exciting. I'm also preparing a merch line and, of course, pouring my heart into this podcast space and just want to be obedient. You know, whatever God is leading me to do, I'm like, Lord, I'm here. I'm your servant.
You work a lot. So you're a workaholic.
I mean, I think that I don't have rest until I get it done. So, yeah.
Does that affect your relationship life?
I think me working hard is because, like right now, like my focus has always just been stability because of my upbringing. So it was very important for me to make sure that I had everything that I need so that I just didn't want to struggle. So I think that growing up and coming from such humble beginnings has definitely been the battery to force me to make sure it's you don't stop until you get it done.
Are you dating someone?
I'm open to date. I am open to date.
That's how you're going to do us?
I'm open to dating. Like, I'm single.
Are you dating someone?
I'm not married, so I'm single.
Oh, my God. Okay, so she's not answering the question.
I'm open to date?
That's
yeah,
it?
I'm open to date. Lord, girl.
So we're in Georgia. Just only men or No, that wasn't my question.
What?
Only, you're open to only dating men or men or women?
I don't like cat.
Oh, you don't like meow?
I'm a woman of God, okay? And I'm not saying people who like cat, that Lord have mercy. Here we go. Get canceled for me to start it. No, what I'm saying is, no, I'm a heterosexual woman for sure.
Okay. I just wanted to put out there, like, so people can know that that's what, okay. Well, you're beautiful. And there's a lot of women who are definitely attracted to you. You're an attractive woman. So, hey, just letting you know, she doesn't like cat.
Jesus, what is happening?
She doesn't like cat.
No, I'm a heterosexual woman. And I'm a woman of God, a woman of faith. Like I said, my faith is what makes me and what has made me. And no disrespect to nobody else. I think that we live in a generation, in a world where a lot of things have been modified.
No, absolutely. Definitely a lot of confusion. Right. So we know that you're open to dating.
Yes.
God first.
Always.
You don't like cat. It just happens. I'm sorry. I don't like the dog.
I like my husband. That's what I'm saying. I like my husband. I love
So that
husband.
Means when you're dating with a purpose.
Yeah, I believe. Okay, so, and this is interesting. I've been intentionally single for a long time. I wanted to, I don't know, I believe that people should find who they are. Advice that I would give to anybody in any space is to find your purpose. When you find your purpose, you find your why. Why you're alive? Why are you here? When you find your purpose, you get your own bag. You can date who you want and not who you need. As a kid, I wasn't the kid that dreamed of a fairy tale wedding. I wasn't a kid that dreamed of, you know, I want to have 1,000 kids and a long train in the back of my wedding dress. I never was the kid for that at all.
Really?
No.
I want to know what helped mold you to that, because your mindset is so driven and strong that I feel that there's a lot of, especially females, males too, but a lot of females who are stuck and don't know how to overcome and bypass the things that they have occurred in life.
Yeah. Nah, mental toughness is, it takes, I mean, you only get the practice of mental toughness because you go through stuff. So when you realize it's like, give up and go back to what?
Who was Latia Ashley then, and who was Latia Ashley now?
I was a person that was about a thirst for purpose and destiny. I remember even in high school, like my prayer every morning was, Lord, show me my purpose. And I used to go to, dang, only a few people know this, but I actually used to go to church in the morning before I went to school. Yeah,
he was definitely the, okay.
I mean, yeah, I would go in the morning.
He was definitely that church girl. You carried the Bible to school too?
I mean,
your book bag?
I did have one. Yeah, I would read it sometimes. Like, I love, so, okay. The Bible to me was, I was always just fascinated with it. How, one, I love history. Two, the fact that it became like the living word. A lot of the self-help books that we read now.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, all they're doing is taking the wisdom out of the Bible and putting it in their own words and making millions of dollars off of it. Everything that you need in your life is right there in it. I have a friend, and I won't say the name of the company, but I have a friend for a fact that helped a company save millions of dollars with practical tools and wisdom that she learned from the book of Proverbs. I'm telling you, it's a book of tools. It's a book that gives you the map to life. And it gives you the beginning, the middle, and the end. It gives you the answer. Life is an open book test.
Uh-huh.
How you fail an open book test?
Well,
don't use the book.
You're right.
And
ignored red flags.
That too, for sure.
Absolutely.
But getting the wisdom, you have the discernment to be able to see the red flag. So if you did ignore them, you chose to ignore them.
Absolutely. Or, I also ignored them. Yep.
Yeah. It's like, because most of the time when it's red, we see it, but we just hope that it's not what we think it is. Or we think that we can change what it is. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
We can't change what it is.
The Latia then was what?
I was probably more focused when I was younger. The older I got a little bit stupid when I got older, but my sense came back. So the younger Tia was actually very focused and dedicated, but I had to learn that everything was already there. I had to learn that there was nothing that I could do to make God love me any more than he already did. Nothing I did would earn his love more, and nothing would also take it, which means that do what it is you want to do because you love God, not because you fear him in a way that if I don't do this, then God's going to punish me for that. So the Tia today understands grace and how to walk in it and how to live in it.
Right.
And that allows me to extend grace to other people.
Now, the Tia then, like, I know church going, but it sounds like too much goody too. She never got in trouble. Like, I know I got in trouble.
Yeah,
I got in trouble.
No, like in school, honestly, in school and stuff, no. Like, it's not in school. Girl, no, I'm not gonna lie. If I ever have a daughter, I'm not gonna lie. I really hope that she takes my traits. I'm telling you, like, me and my best friend. Am I really about to say this?
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes.
My best friend and I, girl, we made a pact in high school and we decided that we wanted to die. Not that it's anything to be celebrated because it's just what it should be anyway.
Yeah.
But we made a deal with each other that we would graduate high school virgins. And so
that one
we did.
Beautiful.
And so that's what we wanted to do.
Congratulations, because
I think we congratulate doesn't.
No, it is, because, you know, the first time you get penis, you get hooked and you want to continue doing more. So, mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm glad you didn't do that in high school, because I broke my virginity in high school and I was like, oh, wow, this feels great. Then
you know what?
So I'm glad you made that pact and you kept it close.
Yeah, but you know what? It still doesn't matter because, and this is what I was referring to earlier when I said nothing you do can make God love you any more or any less. that meant absolutely nothing to God. That was something that was for me. Because God has everything in place for why he has it there. It's really for your protection, because it doesn't mean that I waited till I was married. I mean, I tried to, God, we weren't engaged, like whatever. Anyway, but so that meant nothing to God.
Right.
No, he has things in place for the reason that they're in place for. Like I understood covenant at an early age, you know what I'm saying? But I still didn't say I do before I did it. But God still loves me the same. He's still in love with me.
What makes you think what do you believe made you understand at a young age? Was it because you were raised by your grandma? You didn't stay in foster care? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. In your opinion, what do you feel made you?
Honestly, the essence, like my core of faith, I wouldn't say that my grandmother had anything to really do with that.
Okay.
Nah, because church was an option. She never forced me to go.
You're just born with, internally.
Now that you're saying it, I guess so. Like, nobody ever made me go.
I'm sure you weren't supposed to be a pastor.
I mean, I don't.
Tour manager / whole bunch of //.
No, I think whatever you do is your ministry. Like, right. Whether you're a hairstylist, whether you're a plumber, whether you're an entertainer, whether you're a producer, whether you're, driver, like, whatever it is. I think anything you do, your light, it shines through you. Everything doesn't have to be done from a pulpit. Everything doesn't have to be done from a stage. You know, sometimes you're the only God that people sees. Sometimes people see your life and they see you go through things and they're studying from the sidelines. I mean, right now in my life, I'm like, Lord, whatever you say, that's what it is.
So what is one last thing you want your viewers to know about you personally?
If it's one thing that I want people to know about me, is that my goal is to always point them to God. My goal is to always point them to the source for everything that I am. I'm not perfect. You know, I think people look at people and make them their God. No, I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I have mood swings. Introvert, you know, sometimes I would rather be alone than with the crowd. And I would just want people to know that I've learned that it is okay. It is okay to get knocked down and to get back up and start over.
All right. Well, I'm definitely haven't been knocked down and had to start over plenty of times, child. But nevertheless, you're absolutely right. Putting God first and continuing having faith is what has been keeping me afloat. And it reminds me that, hey, remember I took you out this situation before and you called on me? Remember I took you out this situation before? He has shown me the consistency and pattern of how he always taking me out of issues and trials that I've gone through. So you
just said something that was just so profound.
What?
You just said God showed me his consistency.
Yeah.
We overcome by the word of our testimony. And sometimes when we go through things, we have to reach way back. Well, for me, I ain't got to go back that far because God be bringing me through stuff every day. But sometimes when we go through things, we have to remember that we've been through something before and we got through it.
Yeah.
And reaching back to those trophies that are inside our treasure chest, I look at it like that. And sometimes we have to open it, blow the dust off, and say, I remember when I went through this.
Yeah.
And God brought me through it. So every time I overcome something, for me, it's always like a trophy. And sometimes, you know, those trophies on the shelf get dusty.
Sure does.
And we get so used to it that we walk by it. And it becomes a norm.
It does.
You cannot see.